News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A month into the India-China standoff at the line of actual control, there are finally some signs of a thaw on the ground. Sources in the Indian Army say that both Indian and Chinese troops have partially disengaged in three of the four areas where they have been eyeball to eyeball. These are PP-14, PP-15 and PP-17A in the Galwan Valley and Hot Springs. In these areas, both sides have approximately 1,500 men on each side and have stepped back 1.2 to 2 kilometers from their current positions. Top-level sources in the army claim that in the Galwan Valley, the People's Liberation Army had never entered Indian territory. Ground commanders have reported seeing 20 lorries ferry Chinese troops and ammunition out. The problem at Pangong So, the site of maximum number of patrol skirmishes, continues. Thousands of troops have been pitted against each other for the last 1 month after the Chinese came into Finger 4 and built a sangar or a temporary fortified position there. The Indian side believes that the LAC runs through Finger 8 and so Finger 4 falls within their territory. In the Pangong So area, some soldiers have moved back in boats, but the Chinese continue to hold Finger 4. Starting on Wednesday, there will be multiple rounds of talks at various levels between the Indian and Chinese military on complete disengagement in the Galwan Valley and Hot Springs. Major general officers of both sides will meet on Wednesday to discuss disengagement in Hot Springs. Resolving the standoff at Pangong So will be trickier and will see another level of talks between Lieutenant General Harinder Singh, the 14th Corps commander, and his Chinese counterpart, Major General Lin Lui, commander of the South Xinjiang Military District. The meeting on June 6 between the two at Chushul Moldo BPM went on for a marathon 6 hours, where a roadmap for disengagement was discussed. The Chinese have an infantry division, 2 artillery regiments, 2 armored regiments, fighter jets, and AWACS as part of their rear detachment. The Indian military is seeing it as muscle flexing, say sources. Indian and Chinese troops have been engaged in a month-long confrontation since May 5, following violent clashes in Pangong So in eastern Ladakh and Nakula in North Sikkim. Last week, both India and China had agreed to resolve tensions through talks and maintain peace at the LAC. A massive fire on Tuesday engulfed the damaged Baghjan oil well, which has been spewing gas uncontrollably for the last 2 weeks in Assam's Tinsukia district. The blaze at the Oil India Limited's well is so massive that it can be seen from a distance of more than 30 kilometers, with thick black smoke going up several meters high, endangering the local biodiversities which were already ravaged following the major blowout that happened on May 27. A firefighter of the state-owned Oil and Natural Gas Corporation suffered minor injuries during efforts to control the blaze, which Oil India said could take as long as 4 weeks to be put off. Assam Chief Minister Sarbanand Sonowal spoke to Union Home Minister Amit Shah, Defence Minister Rajnath Singh and Union Petroleum Minister Dharmendra Pradhan and urged them to take urgent steps to douse the fire that broke out when clearing operations were on at the site. Sonowal was assured of all kinds of central assistance and told even the Air Force was on standby to deal with the emerging situation. A massive explosion happened in the afternoon at the oil well next to the Dibru-Saikhoa National Park, and soon black smoke engulfed the area, eyewitnesses said. There were protests in the area as the fire broke out, threatening the lives and livelihood of the people. Following the gas leak, thousands of people were moved out of the area and provided shelter at different camps. In a statement, Oil India said, in view of the protests by people around the site, the Chief Secretary and Tinsukia District Administration were requested for maintaining law and order so that experts were allowed to enter the site and start the well control operations. The staff of Oil India and ONGC are being shifted from the nearby areas, and once the situation is normal, experts from Singaporean firm Alert Disaster Control and the state-owned companies will move to the site, it said. The 3 experts from the Singaporean firm who started working at the site on Monday to stop the gas leak are confident that the situation can be controlled and the well can be capped safely, the statement said. George Floyd was fondly remembered on Tuesday as Big Floyd, a father and brother, athlete and neighborhood mentor, and now a catalyst for change, at a funeral for the black man whose death has sparked a global reckoning over police brutality and racial prejudice. More than 500 mourners wearing masks packed a Houston church a little more than 2 weeks after Floyd was pinned to the pavement by a white Minneapolis police officer who put a knee on his neck for what prosecutors said was 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Cell phone video of the encounter, including Floyd's pleas of "I can't breathe," ignited protests and scattered violence across the U.S. and around the world, turning the 46-year-old Floyd, a man who in life was little known beyond the public housing project where he was raised in Houston's Third Ward, into a worldwide symbol of injustice. Third Ward, Cunny Homes, that's where he was born at, Floyd's brother Rodney told mourners at the Fountain of Praise Church. But everybody is going to remember him around the world. He's going to change the world. The funeral capped 6 days of mourning for Floyd in three cities: Rayford, North Carolina, where he was born, Houston, where he grew up, and Minneapolis, where he died. The memorials have drawn the families of other black victims whose names have become familiar in the debate over race and justice. Among them, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Ahmaud Arbery, and Trayvon Martin. Following the service, Floyd's golden casket was taken by hearse toward the cemetery in the Houston suburb of Pearland, where he was to be entombed next to his mother, for whom he cried out as he lay dying. A mile from the graveyard, the casket was transferred to a glass-sided carriage drawn by a pair of white horses. Hundreds gathered along the procession route and outside the cemetery entrance in the mid-90s heat. "I don't want to see any black man, any man, but most definitely not a black man, sitting on the ground in the hands of bad police," said Marcus Brooks, 47, who set up a tent with other graduates of Jack Yates High School, Floyd's alma mater. In the past 2 weeks, amid the furor over Floyd's death, sweeping and previously unthinkable things have taken place. Confederate statues have been toppled, and many cities are debating overhauling, dismantling, or cutting funding for police departments. Authorities in some places have barred police from using chokeholds or are otherwise rethinking policies on the use of force. Dozens of Floyd's family members, most dressed in white, took part in the four-hour service. Grammy-winning singer Ne-Yo was among those who sang. The mourners also included actors Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum, J.J. Watt of the NFL's Houston Texans, rapper Trey the Truth, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo, and Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner, who brought the crowd to its feet when he announced he will sign an executive order banning chokeholds in the city. Stressed out while working at a bank in New Zealand, Junelle Kunin began searching for music paired with teachings from the Dalai Lama to calm herself down and allow herself to focus. But she couldn't find it online. That's when the musician and practicing Buddhist proposed an idea to the office of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. "Let's make an album fusing music with mantras and chants from the Tibetan spiritual leader." She was politely turned down. But on a trip to India, where Kunin says she typically gets a chance to meet the Dalai Lama, she asked again, this time writing a letter and handing it to one of his assistants. 5 years later, Inner World is born. The album featuring teachings and mantras by the Dalai Lama set to music will be released on July 6, his 85th birthday. The 11-track project will be released in conjunction with a companion booklet. On her trip to India in 2015, Kunin wrote down a list of topics and mantras she thought would be great for the album and recorded the conversations with the Dalai Lama for Inner World. The religious leader recites the mantras of 7 Buddhas on the album, discussing topics like wisdom, courage, healing, and children. The track Compassion, one of the most famous Buddhist prayers, was released on Tuesday. When Kunin returned home, her husband Abraham, who is also a musician and producer, helped her create music and sounds to enhance the Dalai Lama's messages and powerful words. Kunin said that although they have worked on the album for the last 5 years, it feels extremely relevant releasing it now. "The entire purpose of this project is to try to help people. It's not a Buddhist project. It is to help everyday people like myself, even though I am Buddhist," she said. "The messages couldn't be more poignant for our current social climate and needs as humanity. Net proceeds from the sales of the album will benefit Mind and Life Institute, as well as Social, Emotional and Ethical Learning, or SELearning, an international education program developed by Emory University and the Dalai Lama. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.